Good morning. Okay, here I am again. Very happy to share with you from God's Word. And today the passage is again one of those that has so much goodness. I try my bestest to condense it without losing what I think is the essence for our good feeding. So, have you ever been offended by good news? No. Okay. I thought some of you, like being very postmodern, might say, oh, it depends on what the good news is. Well, in John chapter 6, Jesus offered himself as the good news, and the hearers were very offended. Okay. So, is Jesus good news to us? So, today we come to the end of a very long chapter, 71 verses. The chapter begins with 5,000 men following Jesus. And then it ends with 11. I like to always start with context, okay? Just because it's so much, such a long chapter. Then we'll look at what did Jesus really say. And even in that, there are 3 points and sub points. It's okay, we'll do our best. And then what made the people walk away? And then what does this mean to us? Always application. So context, following the miracle feeding of the 5,000, then Jesus uses the analogy of eating to explain the spiritual nature of his kingdom and his messianic mission. He says in verse 55, "Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day." The crowd was very offended, and their resistance to Jesus' word intensified as the passage progresses. The more Jesus insisted on the spiritual meaning of his kingdom and the miracles that he's doing, the angrier they became, and by the end of the chapter, many dismissed Jesus and what he said. And the crowd's abandonment of Jesus was an obvious denial, okay, of Christ. Hey, but in contrast, Judas, the betrayer, continues to masquerade as a disciple. Jesus knew. And so this chapter exactly shows us this, that not all people who follow Christ actually take in or believe in his words. That's the context of our passage. So what did Jesus say that was so offensive? So throughout the gospel narratives, it's not the first time what Jesus said offended people. Jesus did not seek to be controversial. He's not going out there and like he's the next shock jock on the radio. No, no. In fact, in John chapter 12, Jesus says, "I did not speak on my own, but the Father sent me, commanded me to say all that I've spoken." So God sent Jesus to reveal his plan of salvation so that the people may hear and believe and be saved. So Jesus says, "The one who feeds on me will live because of me." Jesus did not come to just supply bread. He came to be the bread. And so God entered our world so that we can enter his. And this is very offensive to people. However, it's very good news to those who understand. Jesus the Son came to be the bread, to be broken for us. You know, I was one of those people, when I first heard it, I was very offended. I'll just quickly share it, okay? I was a teenager in tertiary education and one of these very passionate Christian Youth for Christ type people, you know, stopped me as I was walking down the hall and said, "Oh, would you like to know the Jesus Christ?" And I'm like, "Okay, I'll give you 2 minutes. Just say what you need to say." I'm a bit like that, okay? Like, just go straight to a point, tell me what you want to say. I've given you 2 minutes. And she said this. She said, "It is the grace of God." Well, actually, I paraphrased it. What she says to me is, "The grace of a good God offers his sinless son to pay the death penalty that sin deserves to appease his holy wrath so that unworthy sinners may receive his forgiveness and be reconciled to him to live eternally in his presence in his kingdom. I was so offended. You know what I said to her? Is that what you want to say to me? That I'm a sinner? And that you have a God? And this God is only Jesus Christ? And that I need forgiveness? And I said to her, God, forgive me. I said to her, I'll see you in hell. That was how offended I was. And mind you, it wasn't the first time I heard the good news of Jesus. It was just at that point of time when I was a teenager at that I couldn't accept it. When I was 10, I was very happy about it. Yay, Jesus loved me. But then when I was 18 or 19, it didn't sound so good. Okay, so that was an example. So first point, Jesus came to be the bread to be broken for us. So then in verse 63, Jesus specifically clarified that his words are not to be taken literally. He says, the Spirit gives life, the flesh counts for nothing. The words I've spoken to you, they are full of the Spirit and life. So Jesus was steering his listeners to the spiritual. He's actually saying, materiality cannot give you true life. The material counts for nothing, that's what he's saying. Only a God-infused life is the true life. Very offensive. How can you say that, Jesus? Let me illustrate the point, okay? You see, like a tea bag infusing water, the water now becomes a fragrant cup of tea. When you truly believe in Jesus, God infuses your life with his Holy Spirit. He breathes that into you. The Spirit gives life. That is the true life. Now, mere humans have the capacity to understand eternity. Before that, you don't grasp it, you don't understand it, you don't know it. But now you do. Did you think it was your cleverness? No, the things of God must be revealed by God. It is revealed by the Holy Spirit. That is true life. So offensive. Because it means somebody out there walking and breathing is not living a true life. A good God desires to share his eternal life with his children. And he enables them to live with him. Not just for him. With him. If you are a loving parent, if you have somebody you love, don't you want them with you? You do. And you do everything you can for them to be with you, if not in person, you know, in being. You're with me. So by the Holy Spirit, Christ now lives in you and me. It's now. That's very good news. My third point, that's the one with the sub points. Verse 56. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me and I in them. In this statement, there are three truths. A. Jesus offers the truth of intimate fellowship with God the Father. Humans can be one with God. They can. B. Jesus offers the truth of God's forgiveness by offering himself to be broken for sinners. Humans can be reconciled to God. How good is that? C. Jesus offers the truth of salvation, which is by God's good grace, through faith in Jesus alone. Christ is the only way. What is so good about that? It means humans cannot save themselves. Christ can. It's good news. So Jesus offered these spiritual truths to the people then in Capernaum that day. He also offers these truths to those who would listen. At the start of our service, we read that liturgy that says Jesus is good news to the poor, to the captives, to the oppressed. But it's not good news to those who don't think they're poor or oppressed or in need of forgiveness. So, from this time, Many of the disciples turned back and no longer followed him. Many walked away. Verse 66, so there were general followers, you know, they're following Jesus, and many say, you know, nope, not for me. So why did they walk away? Why? Why did the good news provoke such angry reactions? And from my example, you can kind of guess why, right? You know? Now, fundamentally, the people did not want what Jesus offered. Those who wanted free food, they don't want spiritual truth. And those who wanted more miracles, they wanted a magician. They don't want a Messiah. Then we come to those who are a little bit more religiously learned. They actually know what Jesus was pointing to. And they said to themselves, I don't want you to be my Messiah because you are not a conquering king. We have a David in the history of their lives. They had a conquering King David, and they expect their Messiah not to die in some way. That's not the Messiah they want, and so many walked away. Now, Jesus' spiritual truth reveal the condition of our heart. And so you see the responses. You saw my response. I told that nice Christian person that. I did, because it revealed the condition of my heart. What we desire, what we value, what we believe in, what we prefer, they may not be the truth. And we struggle and we fight. In this case, the people didn't agree with Jesus and they chose to abandon him. And the point for us is, you cannot truly, truly believe in Jesus, yet reject his word or select this one okay, that one not so okay. And you cannot follow Jesus all the way if you do not accept all his words. I gather this truth from Scripture. You can hate me, but that's my understanding today. So what is your response to Jesus' words? What is your response to the Bible? What is mine? Verse 67, Jesus asked the 12, his inner circle, you do not want to leave, do you? Do you? Do you want to walk with me all the way? Do you want to leave now? Jesus isn't begging you. Jesus is saying to them, because they are taking in Jesus' words and they know the condition of their heart. One of them, at least, Judas, he knows what he's thinking and what he's planning to do. Peter didn't know, so Peter says, Lord, to whom shall we go? Whom shall we, the 12, go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and to know that you are the Holy One of God. What about us? Do we believe that of Jesus? Is he the Holy One of God? And does he hold the words to eternal life? None of the disciples that day fully understood the teaching of Jesus, the eating and the blah, 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 and the eternal life, all that. They wouldn't know until after his resurrection. It didn't make sense until then. But that day, Peter's reply is an example for us how a believer would respond to Jesus' truth, even when the truth disrupts our preferences, our desires, and our values. I believe you have the words of life. I believe you are God. So note here from Peter's response that believing comes before fully knowing. One day we will fully know. Today we have the benefit of the Bible to tell us what happened before and what will happen in the future. And still we may not truly, truly, fully, fully understand. But one day we will. And Jesus is calling us to move from the order of our head to the order of our heart. Can you do that? By God's faith, the faith he has given you, you can. Take one little step of faith. So what does it mean for us in this room? So clearly from the passage, Jesus' kingdom is not of this world, he says in John chapter 18, verse 36. In summary, Jesus' kingdom is a spiritual kingdom of truth, where he reigns as Lord over the lives of his people now. And his people will live according to his truth now and today until Jesus returns for his people. That's the summary of the chapter. So when Jesus comes again, he will usher in two eternities. One, eternity with God. The other one, eternity without God. It's hard truth, right? So for those who are hearing this for the first time, God has given himself fully to you, his forgiveness, his Holy Spirit, his Son, intimate fellowship with the Father, the truth of his forgiveness, the truth of salvation by grace through faith in Christ alone. Does it offend you to acknowledge that there is a God, a supreme being, one whose truth we must follow? Does it offend you? Does it offend you to know that you are born into sin and need God's forgiveness? Does it offend you to know that Christ is the only way? And for those who are following Jesus, follow, still following, do you want Jesus as your king now and let his words rule over your life? No half measure, but Christ himself by the Holy Spirit helps us. It is hard teaching. I give you some words of comfort. Because when I prepared this, I said, oh God, this is so hard. And when I was a young person and I met that nice Christian person, I know why I was so offended. Because I think that this Jesus person came to judge me. But you know what? Jesus says in John chapter 12, verse 47, he says, if anyone hears my words but does not keep them, I do not judge that person. Yay. For I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. Yay! There is a judge for the one who rejects me and does not accept my words. Oh dear. The very words I have spoken will condemn them at the last day. For I did not speak on my own, but the Father who sent me commanded me to say all that I've spoken. I know that his command leads to eternal life. So whatever I say is just what the Father has told me to say. Jesus came to save. His words are to save. Isn't that so good? Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.